Man, tonight we're continuing the series through Proverbs. And as I mentioned last week, we've entered a new section in Proverbs. Chapters 10 through 29 it's just this section filled with individual Proverbs. Whereas chapters 1 through 9 were full chapters where there's kind of a narrative that takes us from the beginning of the chapter to the end of the chapter, and one thought leads to the next. Rather, chapters 10 through 29 are just a collection of individual Proverbs that often don't have a lot to do with one another. So this chapter ends up being all over the place. So it's a little bit challenging to preach a sermon on Proverbs 10 or to preach a sermon on Proverbs 11 because each verse is its own topic. It could be a sermon in and of itself. So what I'm doing is I'm just picking a certain theme each week that is present in a lot of the verses and sort of looking at the chapter through that lens. So if you remember last week, we really focused in on this idea of us as Christians being rewarded on this earth, being rewarded in this life, and the fact that God's going to bless us if we do the right things. And that was the idea that we saw over and over again in chapter 10. And we sort of borrowed this verse from chapter 11. If you look at the last verse of chapter 11, verse 31, "Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner." And that was the idea that we really focused on, and we saw that all throughout chapter 10. Well, tonight what I want to focus on is the idea of integrity. That's something that comes up over and over again in Proverbs chapter number 11, the importance of having integrity. Look, if you would, at verse number 1 there in chapter 11. "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." You know, abomination is a pretty strong word, isn't it? An abomination is something that the Lord absolutely hates. And so this is very strong language. What is a false balance? A false balance would be someone who is cheating in business, right? So they have a scale that reads wrong. So let's say they're charging you by the pound. They're going to give you less than what you're paying for. So they're going to cheat you and rip you off. And God says that this device, a false balance, is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. So God delights in looking down from heaven and seeing someone in business who's actually selling someone a fair product for a fair price, or doing a good job and giving people their money's worth. People are honest in business. God cares about this. A lot of times we might get this idea that, well, there's the secular world and then there's church and religious things, and God's really not that worried about what I do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just at my menial job. You know, what does he care about the landscaping business or the electrical business or construction or computer programming? But you know what? God delights in seeing people do a good job at their place of business, and most importantly, that they have integrity in their business dealings. We as Christians should be the most honest people, the most forthright people. We should have integrity. What does integrity mean? It means that you adhere to certain principles of ethics or morality, that you have a sense of right and wrong, and that you have a sense of fair play. In short, integrity means that you don't cheat. And this is something that should characterize us in every area of life, whether it's business, whether it's our family, whether it's church. We need to be people who have integrity. You know what? This is one of the most important things to me personally. I think about this all the time. I want to have integrity. I love that word, integrity. I think about it all the time. And as a pastor, I want to be a pastor that has integrity. I want our church to have integrity. I want our soul winning program to have integrity. I want to have integrity in every area. If I sit down and play a board game, I want to have integrity. And those who cheat, more than anything else, are cheating themselves. And cheaters never prosper. And cheating is an abomination to the Lord. It's also an abomination to me personally. I hate cheating. Okay? You know, cheating in school is an abomination. Cheating on your schoolwork if you're homeschooled is an abomination. You know, God delights in looking down and seeing you actually do things right and do things fairly. You know, when I was a kid, I was like other kids, mischievous, breaking the rules, getting in trouble, because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, the Bible says, right? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. So when I was a kid, I got into trouble. I broke rules at school. But you know, one thing that I could never countenance was cheating. I never cheated in school, okay? I broke a lot of other rules that I'm not proud of, but I didn't cheat in school. And I was that kid who wouldn't let you look at my paper either. You know, sometimes people want to look at my paper, and I'd be kind of like, you know, covering that up, because I don't want you cheating off my paper. And you might think, oh, come on, what's the big deal? But God looks down from heaven, and he is displeased when people cheat in any way, shape, or form. He wants us to have integrity, whether it's our job. And by the way, if you get in the habit of cheating at school, you're probably going to grow up and be dishonest at your workplace as well. And this world is filled with people who have no integrity in business, okay? Look, I worked in the business world. There were so many people who just didn't pay, lied, cheated. I remember I would go out to these jobs, and the panel would be like 30 years old, the fire alarm panel, and I'd be like, hey, you guys need a new panel, and they'd be like, oh, this was just replaced a year ago. I'm like, no, it wasn't. It's got a date on it. It's from the 1980s. And then basically they said, well, look, let us show you. And they showed you where they'd paid many, many thousands of dollars to have the thing replaced, and the company just hadn't done the work. But they just billed them and charged them. All the time I saw stuff like that, where people would lie. They'd say they changed the batteries, and then you go out, it's the same old batteries, because we're talking big, expensive batteries. Just constant lying, constant cheating, people being dishonest in business. You know, it's epidemic out there, my friend. We as Christians need to have integrity, okay? I would rather lose with integrity than to win by cheating. And so a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. What's he saying? He delights in fairness, equity, justice, not this false balance, cheating, and so forth. Look at verse number 3. It says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. You see, our integrity guides us through life, right? We have all these decisions. What do I do? Integrity needs to be our guide. We need to stop and ask, what is the honest thing to do? What is the fair thing to do? What is the right thing to do? And even if it costs us money, even if it means we get a bad grade or whatever, let the chips fall where they may. We need to be honest. We need to have integrity. What does it mean for a preacher to have integrity? It means that he preaches the whole Bible and that he's not up here telling people what they want to hear, but sometimes he has to preach things that are unpopular because it's the right thing to do, right? Being fair. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. In your life, that's my line of business. I'm a pastor, right? I'm about the Father's business, and you have your line of work, but it is just as important for you in your line of work to have integrity as well and not to cut corners, do bad work. You know, take pride in the work that you do and do everything heartily as unto the Lord. It doesn't matter whether it's secular or spiritual. Let integrity be your guide, okay? The perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them. Now, what does perverseness mean? Perverseness literally means crookedness. That's the literal meaning of that word, okay? And so there's the one who's crooked. He's a crook. He's cheating. He's dishonest. And then there's the one who's upright and has integrity. The Bible says in verse 5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. That's pretty similar to what we saw in verse 3, right? Being guided, directed, decisions are made by our integrity, right? It lets us know what the right thing to do is. Many decisions for a person with integrity are no decision at all. Because, do I lie about it or do I tell the truth? You tell the truth, right? You know, do I charge the customer for this part that I didn't install? No. You charge a fair price for a fair service. And, you know, part of integrity means that when you show up for work, you work the time that you're supposed to work. You know, if you're clocked in for a certain amount of time, you actually work that many hours. You don't want to pad the hours and stretch them out and lie about how long you were at the job and so forth. It says in verse number 6, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. And again, what the Bible is saying is that if you cheat, eventually it's going to catch up to you and you're going to be the one who loses. You're cheating yourself. You know, think about all these athletes who've cheated, but look how often they get caught, right? They're taking steroids, performance-enhancing drugs. They're getting blood transfusions in the middle of the night. They're doing all of these sketchy things in order to win the Tour de France or whatever, but it's not worth it. They're going to be taken in their own naughtiness. Be sure your sin will find you out, Lance Armstrong and all the rest of these people that were taking all these drugs and cheating and lied about it and tried to justify their sin. But you know what? They all eventually got outed. And, you know, Lance Armstrong also lost one of his stones over it because of the fact that that's what that stuff does to your body when you're taking all those hormones and steroids and stuff like that. And so he paid a pretty big price for that, not to mention being publicly humiliated and called out. And so, you know, you cheat at your schoolwork, eventually that's going to catch up with you. Because here's the thing about cheating at your schoolwork. You're the one who ends up being dumb. You know, oh man, I fooled the teacher and I fooled my parents and, you know, I didn't actually learn how to do math. Well, the joke's on you because now you're the one who's uneducated and ignorant. You're the one whose brain isn't functioning at a high level because you skipped all the hard work in school. You know, the other kid who's actually doing the math and doing the English and doing the history and science and actually having integrity and not cheating and just copying answers or whatever, you know, he's actually going to succeed in life because he's going to have a brain in his head and he's going to be able to succeed at whatever he puts his hand to. Whereas the one who cheats in school and you know, graduates high school barely knowing how to read or whatever, the joke's on him, isn't it? Because he's the one who's going to fail in life. And so you're only cheating yourself when you cheat. The Bible says the righteous is delivered. Actually, let's back up. I skipped one. Look at verse number 7. It says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Meaning that the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and then the wicked guy falls into that trap that the righteous was delivered from. Verse number 9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So the hypocrite, the faker, right? He destroys his neighbor with his mouth, but it says that through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So again, if you are a cheater on your schoolwork as a kid, you're not going to have the knowledge to deliver you. You're going to end up failing and getting hurt and making mistakes and getting ripped off for the rest of your life, okay? See, I walk into a car dealer or something, I'm not going to get ripped off because I can do the math when they're coming at me with how much it costs and the payments and the interest rate. I'm not just like, oh, okay, whatever. Sometimes they're just lying and cheating and sometimes the math isn't adding up. You know, I get all these calls from my lender on my house. So, you know, I own a home and I've got a 30-year mortgage and everything like that. And so, you know, they call me up and they want me to refinance and they just lie about it. And they come at you with all these numbers that are false. And I'm on the phone with them and I've got a pen and paper and a calculator. And I'm explaining to them, like, you're stealing from me. Like, this, no. They'll flat out just lie to you. And if you know math, you'll be able to tell that they're lying. And you'll be like, no thanks. I'll stick with my existing loan. Thank you very much. But, of course, they want you to refinance and pay thousands of extra dollars in interest and you know, pay all the... I mean, they were trying to offer me some deal where, like, I was going to be losing money for like the next like 17 years or something before it would begin to help me a tiny bit. It's just like, no, this is stupid. And then they want to add like $6,000 or $7,000 to the principal. It was just like, but you know that they could just pull the wool over people's eyes with this stuff and people will just fall for it because they don't really understand the math. And I was trying to explain it to the salesman on the phone. I don't think he understood. I think he slept through math class because I was explaining it to him and it was going over his head, like why what he was offering me was a bad deal. But he's probably just reading off some script that some guy is in a back room somewhere, like, you know, I'm not going to mention what type of person that probably is in that back room, what religion they probably are, but, Jewish. But anyway, coming up with these scamming, predatory lending type deals, you know, he's probably just reading a script or whatever. But, you know, if you go through life without knowing math, you're the one that's going to get ripped off. If you go through life not learning the basic teachings that your parents are trying to give you in homeschooling or that whatever the school you go to is teaching you, you know, you're the one that's not going to be able to function in modern America without the basic language, math, science skills that you need. The joke is on you. Through knowledge, you will be delivered from a lot of things in life, okay? The Bible says in verse number 17, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Okay, so the wicked worketh a deceitful work. So he goes to work and, you know, he lies about how many devices there are, and he says that he changed the panel, he didn't do anything, he says he changed the batteries and whatever, and he's working a deceitful work. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. You know, I had a guy working for me, and he was constantly lying about changing batteries, and eventually I figured out that he was lying about it, and I let the guy go. And so that's not a sure reward right there, right? Because it says, you know, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. You know, if you actually do things right with integrity and work hard and you're honest, maybe you won't make as much money in the short term because you're not lying and cheating and deceiving, but in the long term, you're going to have a sure reward, okay? You're going to prosper in the long run. You know, we had to go, I'll talk about this now since the company doesn't even exist anymore, but Fry's Electronics right down here. You know, we had a bunch of guys from our church that worked at Fry's Electronics at one point. And, you know, there were a lot of salesmen down there that were just being dishonest. And, you know, sometimes there were incentives to sell people not the best computer, but the computer that made the company the most money, even if it was an inferior product, even if it was not really what the person needed. But, you know, we had some guys from our church that worked down there, and they just had an attitude that said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to sell people what I believe is the best product that they are actually looking for. I'm just going to have integrity and just tell the truth. And just, you know, if they come in and say, this is the laptop I need or whatever, you know, I'm going to tell them the truth about it. And I'm going to set them up with what I would want. Because what is the golden rule, my friend? It's, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So if you walked into Fry's Electronics, do you want somebody to sell you something that you don't need, something that doesn't have what you do need, and it has a bunch of stuff that you don't need because they're just trying to make the maximum commission? Or would you want someone to actually show you the best product for you? And so we had some guys at our church, and I talked about this with them kind of how the company incentivized certain things. And they just made a decision, and they said, you know what? When I deal with these customers, I'm just going to sell them whatever is the right product for them and care about them and take care of them like they were my friend or something. And then whatever the commission is, even if it's no commission or super low commission, whatever. Because sometimes the best deals paid no commission because the company's not making as much money on the come-on deal. And, you know, people like this, when I talked to them, you know, Brother Segura was one of them. You know, he used to work there a long time ago. And, you know, I remember these guys basically telling me stories about how God would just bless them for doing that, where they would sell somebody the best deal laptop, even though it didn't really pay commission, but then they'd end up, you know, getting warranties and getting other things and buying other things. And it just seemed like God blessed them, and they actually ended up making more than some of the slimier salesmen around them who were just trying to just make the maximum buck off every transaction instead of actually just trying to do a good job and sell people what they need and what they want and actually, you know, give people the treatment that they would want to receive, okay? This is the way we need to live our lives as Christians. You know, Christianity, yeah, it's about reading your Bible. It's about praying. It's about going to church. It's about preaching the gospel to every creature. But you know what? Christianity is also just about being a good person. It's about being a good person. It's about being a good brother, a good sister, a good parent, a good child. And it's about being a good salesman, meaning one with integrity. It's about being a good employee. It's about being a good employer. It's just about being a nice person, an honest person, a good person. You know, we don't want to have this attitude of, well, I'm a good Christian because I read my Bible and pray and go to church and I'm really involved in a faithful word. Well, you know, but if you're really a good Christian, that should permeate into every area of your life and just give you integrity whatever you do. Boy, I get so upset sometimes just about how many just charlatans and frauds and scams there are in this world. Doesn't it just drive you nuts? It's just every single day, multiple times a day, my phone rings. It says, scam likely. And it's just like, it just keeps doing it. It's just like, scam likely, scam. I'm just so used to it. It's just like autopilot. You're just like, decline, decline. But I mean, my phone number's kind of been dragged through the mud a little bit. So I might get more calls like this than you. But who gets scam likely calls every single day? Well, that makes me feel better. You know, it's not just me. But I'm getting these calls every day. And sometimes I just get angry. And I just think to myself, like, why are there so many people out there trying to rip me off? And I get text messages. Like, I got a text message today telling me, oh, your banking website is you're locked out. You know, you need to sign in and fix it. Click this link. I'm just getting scam texts. Scam phone calls, scam emails. There's always some company that's trying to sell you some bogus product, some bogus whatever. And it's just like, there's so many fake scams out there and so many frauds. And then think about church. I mean, think about how many phony preachers there are. Or how many preachers lie and just teach false doctrine, and they know they're lying. They know it's a false doctrine, but they just teach it because they know it's what people want to hear. They know it's what gets them paid. It's sick. It's evil, right? How many people pretend to know things that they don't actually know anything about? You know, I can't even count how many people have come in here and put themselves forth as like some kind of a Hebrew expert, or they know all these languages. And then I'll just start talking to them in that language. They're just like, yeah. I mean, how many pastors get up and say, you know, well, you know, if you go back to the Greek, it means X, Y, and Z. And they literally couldn't even read the menu in a Greek restaurant. Like, they don't even know the basics of the language. They couldn't even count to 10 in Greek. But they just get up and just pretend to know these things. They just lie about it. And it's like that in every area. You know, that's something I notice because I'm a pastor. So, you know, I notice that. But I'm sure you notice it too when you're an electrician or a plumber, or just how many frauds are out there? How many charlatans? How many fakes are out there? Doesn't it just drive you nuts? Well, guess who else finds it abomination? The Lord. Okay? He wants us to have integrity. And that means that if we're supposed to be an expert at something, we better actually learn the material. You know, if we're supposed to be doing a certain job, we do that job with integrity, we do it right, we do it heartily, we don't cheat, we don't cut corners. Eventually, you're going to get caught. Not only that, but the Lord is displeased. And that's the most important thing. So don't work a deceitful work. Sow righteousness and receive that sure reward of sowing righteousness. That's verse 18. Verse 19 says, as righteousness tendeth to life, So he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. At the end of the day, you know, I'm getting mad at all these people, these scam likely and all the frauds and charlatans that are out there. But you know what? At the end of the day, those people are the ones who are going to suffer. In reality, I feel sorry for them because their life is going to be so bad and so miserable. And I don't even care how much money they make. Even if they make a bunch of money by selling some lying folk, fake, you know, bogus product, I don't care how much money they make because you know what? God's going to punish them, and eventually it's going to come back and bite them. You know, they are the ones who are doing something that's an abomination to the Lord, and they're going to pay for it. And, you know, he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. You know, it says in verse 20, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. So it's not even just the action where God says, you know, that a false balance is an abomination. The just weight is his delight. Now he makes it personal. They that are of a froward heart, those people are abomination to the Lord. And such as are upright in the way, the people that are upright in their way are his delight, right? God delights in people who are upright in their way. Okay, this is kind of a silly illustration, but let me tell you about a business that just lacked integrity and just ripped off millions of kids across America. Okay? We're going to go back in time. The Power Glove. Who knows what I'm talking about with the Nintendo Power Glove? Okay? So a few people are going to get this illustration. It's about 15 of us. The rest of you can just listen in. Okay? Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, this thing came out. It was called the Power Glove. And this thing was way ahead of its time. Only one problem, it didn't work. If it would have worked, it would have been awesome. But it did not work at all. It did not work whatsoever, okay? And so this is what happened, you know, here we are, and I don't remember exactly what year this was. I want to say this probably around like 1990. You know, don't quote me on that, but it's real close to 1990, maybe 91, around that time. But there was this one Christmas when everybody wanted the Power Glove. And this Hollywood movie came out that glorified the Power Glove. And on this Hollywood movie, the Power Glove just worked perfectly on the movie. And this kid, you know, pulls out his Power Glove and he's using it. And it was basically like what would later be the Nintendo Wii. Isn't that the one where, like, you move your hand around and whatever? So this was that, except in 1990. It was this glove, and you just play the video game with your hand. Like, you can move it around, whatever. It did not work at all. Like, it didn't work a little bit. It just didn't work. It was horrible. I can't even express to you what a failure it was. The movie was lying. The commercials were lying. The company was lying. But here's the thing. When I was a kid, man, I wanted the Power Glove so bad. And all my friends, we all wanted the Power Glove so bad. And you know what? All the spoiled brats, they got the Power Glove. You know, the kids whose parents get them, whatever. So I had a friend that was a spoiled brat. And so he, of course, got the Power Glove when it came out. And I was like, I got to come over to your house. I got to try the Power Glove. Like, ask your parents if I can come over, you know, like, what, you know, because it was like he went to church with me. So I was like, you know, I'll go home with you after the Sunday morning service. I can come back for the evening service. And so I got to, and he's like, you don't want to do the Power Glove because it's garbage. And I went over to his house and I experienced it for myself. The Power Glove didn't work at all. So I watched this documentary about the Power Glove, okay? There's a whole documentary about it, okay? And here's what happened. The guy who invented the thing was a genius. And he invented a Power Glove that worked perfectly. Okay? But here was the only problem. It cost $9,000 to manufacture each unit. So to make one was $9,000. So then the company that it was like Mattel or Hasbro or whatever, here's what they said. They said, hey, we need you to get this down like, you know, to like $40 or something. So it cost $9,000 to make it the right way. And it's like, we need you to make it for $40 or whatever because they want to sell it for $100. So basically what they ended up having to do is just completely throw out everything about the design that worked and just make some janky piece of junk that didn't work. And here's what, see, a lot of you kids probably don't really understand this story that I'm telling right now. And here's why you don't understand the story. Because today, if something doesn't work, what do you do? Let's ask a child. Who's 10 years old? Put up your hand. Okay. What do you do? If you bought something that didn't work, what would you do? You just return it. Is that what the rest of you kids are thinking? But you have to understand, this is 1990. You don't return stuff. Stores don't take returns. Oh, you open the package? You can't return it. Does anybody remember those days? This isn't Amazon. This isn't Walmart. You can't return things. They don't take returns. So this company literally sold millions of these things, and they made a profit of like $35 or $40 million on a product that did not work. No one was happy. There was not one child on this planet who was satisfied with the Power Glove, except on that movie, you know, and that's because that's a movie, so it's all lies. Now you say, why are you telling this big, long story about the Power Glove? Because it just illustrates how, you know, a company can make millions of dollars selling junk that doesn't work. And you know what? I guarantee you, though, that those people got punished somehow. You know, because God looks down and he sees that, and they might have just been laughing all the way to the bank, like, hey, well, we made $30 million. Who cares if we ruined all these kids' Christmas and you know, messed with the, they're spoiled anyway. That's why their parents even bought them the Power Glove. Who received a Power Glove as a kid? Who actually owned a Power Glove? Did anyone here? See, they're not in church tonight. Because they're spoiled brats. None of us got the Power Glove. That's why we're here. That's why we love the Lord. Because our parents didn't just give us everything. We had to go over to our buddy's house to play the Power Glove and realize what a worthless piece of junk it was. And after 20 minutes, say, unplug that stupid thing. Hand me a controller. Give me a game controller. Get this thing out of my... What? I don't think anybody sued. We need a class action lawsuit right now. No, I don't think the company got sued. My understanding from the documentary that I watched, and I watched it years ago, but my understanding for the documentary was that the company just made millions of dollars, ruined everybody's Christmas, and it was just like they never really paid for it.
Emotional harm caused to millions.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe the kids aren't in church because they're too damaged from the bad experience with the Power Glove. But the point is that, you know, you may think like, oh, they got away with it. Look, I don't believe that anybody gets away with anything in life. You know what I mean? Because if that's the way you live your life and that's how you make money, and I'm just using that as an illustration, okay? But you can think of all the other examples in your own life. If that's how you make money, selling people bad products that don't work, selling lies and cheating and stealing and whatever, if that's how you go through life making a living, I promise you God will punish you for that. And I promise you that the creators of the Power Glove or the people who sold that junky version of the Power Glove, you know, I guarantee that God punished those people or he's going to, okay? You say, well, Pastor Anderson, you're being ridiculous right now. God doesn't care about the Power Glove. Let me tell you something. God cares about every single person who lies and cheats and steals in this world. The hairs of our head are numbered. If a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without God knowing about it, I promise you that every shady dealer, every scammer, everybody who lies and cheats and steals for money is going to pay for it. Even if it's something as silly as a video game, they lied. They cheated. They ripped people off. They banked on the fact that no one can return it. Because if returns would have been allowed back then, it wouldn't have worked. Everybody would have just gotten that box, put it back in, and sent it back to Amazon and said, nope, I want my money back. But let me tell you something. God will punish these people. If they're saved, you know, they're going to get scourged, my friend, on this earth. And if they're not saved, that's one of the things they're going to be paying for at that white throne of judgment, is that they stole money from people and they lied and didn't have integrity. That's going to be one of the sins. But, you know, it's like their hell's going to be a little hotter because of that whole Power Glove fiasco. Okay? And you know what? I am not kidding right now. I mean, I know it's funny, but I'm actually dead serious right now. Okay? I am dead serious, and I hope you understand that I'm serious. I hope you understand, and I hope that this sticks in your mind. This is why I'm using this illustration that's kind of silly, that's kind of out there, because I want you to understand that what you do on Thursday morning at your job, God is paying attention. If you're a liar and a cheat, and if you're stealing, you're going to pay for it, period. Okay? It's an abomination to God. God loves it when people do a good job and have integrity and do, and he hates the stealing and the cheating and the scamming. He absolutely hates it. And I hope you know that I am as serious as a heart attack up here telling you this. It's funny, but at the same time, it's real. It's serious, okay? I mean it, that those people who did pulled off this Power Glove scam are wicked, okay? They should have just realized, hey, it costs $9,000 to make. Maybe we just can't make it. Or maybe we just have to sell it for $10,000 or whatever. And some spoiled brat's still going to get it. But no, they lied to everybody. They used Hollywood to spread their lie about that Power Glove that, you know, oh, I love the Power Glove. It's so bad. Yeah, it was bad, all right. It was a different kind of bad. All right, back to the Word of God here. I hope you take that seriously. The wicked worketh the deceitful work, verse 18, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Right? He's hurting himself. If he does evil to other people and hurts other people, that's going to come back around because you reap what you sow. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, think of like a business handshake, some corporate deal that's made between Hasbro and Nintendo or Mattel or whoever it was. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, right? You're not going to get away with it. It's not worth it to cheat. You need to just make an honest living. Verse 22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Now that verse right there might not really on the surface seem like it has a lot to do with our integrity theme tonight, right? We're talking about having integrity and being honest and being fair. But if you think about it, you know, part of having integrity is that what you see is what you get, right? Part of integrity is truth in advertising. That when something looks a certain way, right, you expect it to be actually the real deal. And, you know, what the Bible's saying here is, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. A fair woman there, fair is referring to her beauty. It's basically saying a beautiful woman who has no discretion. It's like putting a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Meaning that it's still ugly. Okay? If you took a pig, an ugly, dirty pig, and then you decorate it with a little jewelry, it's still going to be ugly. Am I right? And here's what the Bible is saying. You know, a physically beautiful woman who has no integrity, who isn't the real deal, who is not godly, who is not righteous, who does not have the good qualities that you would look for in a woman, she's ugly still, right? She's like that pig with a jewel in its snout. So, you know, women should seek to have integrity themselves. Look what the Bible says in verse 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. What's the Bible saying? That a woman should hold on to her honor. Just like a strong man is going to guard his wealth. He's going to guard his castle. He's not going to let somebody come and steal from him and rob him. If he's a strong man, he's going to be able to defend his goods. Well, the Bible's saying that the gracious woman is going to retain her honor in the way that a strong man retains his riches. She's going to guard that treasure of her honor. And you know, here's another word for honor, integrity. Okay? Women need to have honor and integrity, not to be just a facade. And you know, women, they care a lot about their outward appearance, don't they? Women are way more into their appearance than men are. Men usually aren't that into their appearance, or at least they shouldn't be. Okay. You know, women, they care about how they look. But you know, you ladies need to make sure that when you make the outside look good, you better actually have something worth decorating on the inside. That you actually have honor, and that you actually have integrity, and that you actually have discretion and godliness and righteousness and virtue on the inside, so that you're not basically just a lying advertisement, basically, making yourself look so good on the outside when in reality you're toxic. You're rotten. You're ugly. You have an ugly personality, right? You have an ugly character. No. Work on actually having your inside match your outside. You know, as you beautify the outside, make sure that you're spending time on the inside. You know, it doesn't matter how much time you spend making yourself look good on the outside. What really matters is, how much time did you spend reading the Bible? How much time did you spend praying to the Lord? How much time did you spend actually learning how to be a good wife, a good homemaker, a good mother? You know, you young ladies that are teenagers or even younger than that, even just young girls in the home, you know, you should be learning how to grow up and be a woman with some actual skills, like the virtuous woman, right? And you know, you're kind of learning how to take care of the house, learning how to cook, learning how to take care of the baby. Also, you know, you're doing your schoolwork as well and actually working on learning the type of things that are going to make you a good home economist, right? Because, you know, my wife, she doesn't just cook and clean, she runs the household. What does the Bible say? Guide the house, says that women should guide the house. And so, in many ways, I end up being sometimes like Potiphar, you know, where it's like, okay, this is my food that's on my plate, but it's Joseph that's making it all happen behind the scenes. And so, wives need to be smart enough to actually do the math and figure out what's on sale, what grocery store to shop at. You know, they got to be able to double that recipe, or in our case, you know, multiply that recipe by 1,000 or whatever. You know, they got to be able to double, triple, quadruple that recipe. And last time I checked, cookbooks are filled with fractions. And they need to be able to do that math. They need to be able to figure that out. They need to be able to balance the budget, balance the checkbook, right? I mean, who wants to be married to a wife that overdraws the account because she can't do math? Huh? You want to pay those bank fees? $30 a transaction, $40 a transaction for every single transaction because your pretty little wife can't do math and overdraws the bank account? No. And so you young ladies, you know, make sure that you grow up and you're honest and you have integrity, and that you are a virgin when you get married, and that you actually have qualities that will help you to be a good wife and a good mother, so that the man who marries you will rise up and call you blessed, not be cursing you under his breath and wishing that he never married you because, oh, you're so beautiful, but you're an adulteress, or you're bad with the household, or because you cheated your way through school, so you're dumb as a brick, you know, because you are lying to him all the time. Who wants their wife to lie to them all the time, right? You want your wife to tell the truth. You want her to do a good job, have some skills, right? And so you, in short, want a woman with integrity. And so it's important that we as men in business have integrity, but it's important that our wives have integrity too. You know, when I have breakfast, lunch, and dinner at my house, I want it to be a meal with integrity, right? I want it to be quality. I want it to be homemade. You know, I want it to be good ingredients. I want it to be well prepared, not just phoned in so that my wife could just watch more soap operas or play more Candy Crush or, you know, dust off that old power glove and, you know, throw it at the wall and curse it. You know, we need to have integrity, people, right? We want to be the real deal. What does integrity mean? It means being real. Not just an outward facade that looks good on the outside, bad on the inside. Want to be the real deal. Want to be honest, not cheat, not falsely advertise who we are. The Bible says in verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Think about that. The one that scattereth and yet increaseth. What does it mean to scatter? In this context, it means being generous. Here's the guy who's generous and you know, he ends up prospering. But then there's the one who withholds more than his meat. Think of like an employer maybe holding back on the paycheck. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 5, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. What's he saying? He's saying, you know, these employers that are shortchanging their employees and then the employees get ripped off, the Lord hears those cries. And God says he's going to punish them. He's going to bring wrath upon them for withholding, for keeping back by fraud, withholding more than is meet. Meet means appropriate, fitting, suitable. Withholding more than is appropriate, basically cheating their employees, not giving them what they've actually earned. The Bible says that there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but attendeth to poverty. You know, that guy's going to go out of business. The guy who's ripping off his employees and stealing from them. Why? Because of the judgment of God, because of the wrath of God upon him. He's going to end up in poverty. God's going to punish him. And the person who does right, the person who has integrity, is going to be blessed. The person who scatters and is generous and open-handed is going to increase. The Bible says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Now, why would someone withhold corn instead of selling it? You know what this is? This is someone who doesn't put their product out to the market because of the fact that the price is too low. So they hoard it all and they want to create and manufacture a fake shortage, right? So, hey, let's keep all the corn in the barn. Let's create a shortage and then everybody will freak out and then we can sell it for more money later. You know, the Bible says, no, God's going to bless you when you just grow the corn and just sell it. But when you withhold the corn, the people are going to curse you. Blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. So the people who do right and have integrity and have fairness and, you know, just manufacture a good product and sell it, go to work, clock in and put in a good, honest day's work, those kind of people are going to flourish and thrive. And God's going to make sure that it's so. Whereas the people that are finding all these mischievous ways to cut corners and be dishonest, they're eventually going to reap what they've sown. And so tonight I want you to decide that you're going to make integrity a big part of your life and just everything you do, you're just going to do the best. And you know what? This is a habit that should carry over into every part of our life, even if it's something that doesn't even matter. You know, if I go to the gym, I'm not going to do partial reps at the gym because I have too much integrity to do that, even if no one's watching. Why? Because I don't want to be in this person that's just in the habit of cutting corners and cheating all the time. So even something stupid like that that doesn't matter, bodily exercise profit a little, but you know what? I don't want to cheat and cut corners. You know, if I do a push-up, I'm going to go all the way down and come all the way back up, even if I'm by myself. Why? Because I just don't want to become a person who just does things halfway and cheats and cuts corners. I just want to do things the right way. Just we should strive for excellence in every area of life, just always doing things the right way, even things that don't even matter. Just be a person who just has integrity and just does the whole thing and just doesn't cheat, just is honest. Just be a person, and you know what? That integrity, the Bible says, is going to be your guide, and it's going to direct you, and it's going to bring you good places in life, whereas not having integrity is going to take you all the wrong places. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this chapter, Lord, and the wisdom here in the book of Proverbs. Lord, I pray that all of us would have integrity. And please, Lord, just reward those who do have integrity, Lord, and punish those who are cheaters, Lord, and that are scammers and all these phone calls and text messages and emails of all the frauds and scammers out there, Lord. I pray that you would just punish them and destroy them, Lord, and that you would honor those who put in a good day's work and help them to have the money that they need to pay their bills, Lord, in these times of inflation, Lord. I pray that every single person who's in the auditorium tonight who actually works hard at their job and has integrity, Lord, I pray that you would just bless them and help them be able to make ends meet. And in Jesus' name, we pray, amen.